everyone, and welcome to today's program. Will Jerusalem be destroyed before the second coming of Christ to this earth? Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has stated on numerous occasions that Israel will soon disappear from the world scene. Several other terrorist groups have dedicated themselves to the destruction of Israel. Jerusalem is the spiritual capital of Judaism and Christianity, with the Muslim world viewing it as the third holiest site in Islam, behind Mecca and Medina. U.S. and world leaders have repeatedly stated that they would not allow Iran to go nuclear and threaten Israel and the West. In looking at the history of Iran, you remember that in the 1970s, the Shah of Iran, considered a monarchy, was a friend of the United States of America, and the U.S. poured a lot of effort and energy into supporting the Shah. In the meantime, Ayatollah Khomeini was leading a religious revolution against the Shah in the 1970s, and eventually led him to the point that a referendum took place in Iran to replace the monarchy with a Shiite republic, and that was passed with 98% voting yes. Ayatollah Khomeini proclaimed April 1, 1979, as the first day of God's government. And Khomeini's goal is to, quote, establish God's government over the whole earth. He obtained the title of Iman and became the supreme leader. Khomeini's ultimate goal, as previously stated, was the establishment of the Islamic State worldwide. Ayatollah Khomeini died in 1989, and his work has been carried on by Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Khamenei has the last word in matters of state. The names Khomeini and Khamenei are easily confused, and some Americans apparently don't know the difference. I'm not sure that everyone knows that the original Ayatollah Khomeini is dead. But what is important to understand are the goals of the world's only Shiite republic, and that is to bring all the world under the Shiite regime. There are, of course, many reasons that range from the current situation in Iraq to the ultimate goals of Islam and the future of the planet as to why we should understand the goals of the world's only Shiite republic. In other words, the events that are shaping up in the Middle East have grave implications for every man, woman, and child on Earth. U.S. military officials continue to cite the involvement of Iran in Iraq and in the terrorist groups that are plaguing Israel on a regular basis. Iran is supplying material for the insurgents in Iraq, and in some cases, personnel. Iran is supplying Hamas and Hezbollah with armaments and political support in the area in and around Israel. Iran continues to insist that she will not be deterred from developing nuclear power. So there is grave concern on the part of Western political leaders that Iran will develop nuclear weapons and hold them over the head of Israel and Western nations. In view of the various threats posed by Iran, various neocons and politicians advocate the bombing of Iran's nuclear plants. Recently, neocon Norman Porterhertz released a new book titled The Case for Bombing Iran. He writes, "I hope and pray that President Bush will do it." Porterhertz's son-in-law, Elliot Abrams, is deputy national security advisor to President Bush, and his son, John, is a columnist for the New York Post. So there are ears to hear, perhaps, of what Porterhertz is saying. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman recently advocated the case for military action against Iran in response to its purported killing of U.S. troops inside Iraq. Senator Lieberman stated, "I think we've got to be prepared to take aggressive military action against the Iranians to stop them from killing Americans in Iraq. And to me, that would include a strike over the border into Iran, where we have good evidence that they have a base at which they're training these people coming back into Iraq to kill our soldiers." End of quote. In response to the rhetoric of the likes of Porterhertz and Lieberman, Mohammed El-Barda, head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, states, quote, world peace is now at risk because of new crazies who say, let's go and bomb Iran. Several political pundits have spoken vigorously against any notion the Bush administration has about launching a military attack against Iran. Such a move would doubtlessly inflame the whole Islamic world and perhaps draw Syria, Turkey, and Russia into the conflict. And of course, China is always waiting in the wings and trying to get a foothold anywhere and everywhere that she possibly can. But make no mistake about it, the Bush administration is very concerned about Iran and her daredevil politics. Western leaders find themselves between the proverbial rock and the hard place when it comes to the situation with Iran. If they do this, they will have severe consequences that might come back upon them, and if they do that, the same could be said. So what do they do? Iran has been emboldened by Russia's military equipment and technical help, and by a huge oil deal with China. According to DEPCA files military sources, the U.S. naval buildup off the shores of Iran marks rising military tensions between the U.S. and Iran. The tensions were accentuated by recent events in the Middle East, that is, Hamas's victory in Gaza, in which they were able to defeat Fatah, and this provides Iran with a military foothold on Israel's southwestern border. Then you couple this with Hezbollah's standoff with Israel back in September of 06, and Hezbollah continues to hold forth in Lebanon, and that couple with Syria backing them and Iran backing Syria. So you have Hezbollah on Israel's northwest border, you have Syria to the north, and so Israel is effectively surrounded by her enemies. The USS Stennis and the USS Nimitz, both carriers, have been cruising just off the shores of Iran for several weeks. Now the USS Enterprise, CVN 65 Big E Strike Group, will join the Stennis and the Nimitz, making the largest naval and buildup that has ever been deployed off the coast of Iran. So once again, we return to the question concerning the future of Israel, and more specifically, Jerusalem. What does Bible prophecy have to say about the future of Jerusalem? Will Jerusalem be nuked by Iran, Russia, or any other nation? Psalm 83 describes a confederacy that comes against Israel in the end times to wipe her off the map. And when I say end times, I mean the end of this age. The world is not going to end, as some people talk about the world ending. This age, this current evil age that is governed to a large degree by Satan and the demons, that is going to come to end, and Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth and usher in a new age of peace and prosperity for all nations, and all peoples will be given the opportunity to come into a relationship with God and Christ and become a part of the Israel of God, as Paul calls it in Galatians 6 and verse 16. The goals of the nations described in Psalm 83 sounds very similar to what Iranian President Ahmad Ahmadinejad advocates concerning Israel. Listen to this psalm. This is Psalm 83. Keep not you silence, O God. Hold not your peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. Yes, there is tremendous hate in the world today, and religion is at the root of a lot of it. And people don't understand the great spiritual forces that are at work. So many people now just condemn all religion and say that religion is the root of all the problems. Really, the root of all the problems is spiritual. Spiritual problems is what is the root of it, and not understanding the true God and His Spirit. The psalmist goes on to write here in Psalm 83, they have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against your hidden ones. So God has specifically chosen, first of all, the nation of Israel, not because they were better than any other nation, but he had to start somewhere, and the goal was to bring all nations into relationship with him. Now that God has raised up the church of God, the church has a commission to preach the gospel to the whole world, teaching them to observe all things, and God has promised to be with us to the end of this age. And of course, he will be with us on beyond, and eventually in the New Jerusalem, God and Christ will dwell in the New Jerusalem. So he says that they've taken counsel against your hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. This is Psalm 83. You can read it for yourself. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you. The tabernacles of, or the tents or the dwellings, or another way to say it would be the nations of Edom, the Ishmaelites. You remember Ishmael, the father of the Arabs. Moab, the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines, with inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. So we see here a great confederacy of nations that say that their goal is to come against Israel, that the name of Israel no more be in remembrance. It sounds like the rhetoric of Ahmadinejad of Iran. And there are other terrorist groups who have said the same thing. Then the psalmist prays that God will intervene and defeat these nations. The psalmist writes, Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burns a wood, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. So persecute them with your tempest, and make them afraid with your storm. So the psalmist appeals to God to intervene and fight the battle for them. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Eternal. See, the ultimate goal of God in dealing with the nation through all of this, as this present evil age winds down, is for them to come to know who the true God is. And the ultimate test of the nations and the peoples of the world will be, who will you worship? Will you worship the true God, or will you worship the beast and Satan and the false prophet? So he says, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that you, whose name alone is Yahweh, the Eternal, are the Most High over all the earth. The prophet Ezekiel also describes a confederacy of nations coming against Israel in the latter days. Persia, modern-day Iran, is listed as one of those nations. But God intervenes and defeats this confederacy. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to ask and answer the question, will Jerusalem be destroyed before the coming of Jesus Christ? As we see events shape up in the Middle East, we see the tensions grow more and more every day. The United States is building up its forces in the Gulf region just off the coast of Iran, and there's more and more rhetoric with regard to what Iran is doing, and they must be stopped, with Senator Lieberman saying that we need to strike Iran, and others saying that Iran needs to be dealt with. On the other hand, the Democrats are saying we need to get out of Iraq. Senator Lugar came out this week and said we need to get out of Iraq. And then on the other hand, we have the difficulties that are brewing with Israel and the terrorist groups that surround her, along with those other nations that are supported by Iran. So we see the world in great turmoil, and there are many other hot spots on the face of the earth as well. So in times like these, you need to know what is going on and how to cope with it. One of the things that we can offer you to help you in these times is a free subscription to the Good News magazine and our Bible study course, along with an article titled, Are We Living in the Last Days? So the Good News Magazine, the Bible Study Course, and Are We Living in the Last Days will give you a good grasp of what is going on and what you need to do to prepare for the future. All you have to do to receive any of the literature we offer on this program is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. So will Jerusalem be destroyed before the coming of Jesus Christ? All these threats are being raised against Israel and Jerusalem at the present time, with Ahmadinejad of Iran saying that Israel is going to disappear from the pages of history in the near future, with various terrorist groups saying that Israel must not be allowed to continue to exist, and so the beat goes on. The prophet Zechariah describes what Jerusalem and Judah will be facing just before the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Eternal for Israel, and it is a great burden, it is a heaviness. The burden, says the Eternal, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. In other words, the God, the Eternal, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of humankind made in the image of God, he is the one who is saying this. It is through his divine authority that Zechariah writes these words. Zechariah writes, Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Judah, the nation of Israel, as it's called in modern terms, you remember after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided with 10 tribes to the north under Jeroboam and 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, to the south under Rehoboam. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And Jesus Christ himself speaks of this time in Luke's account of the Olivet Prophecy. Jesus states, And when you shall see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Jerusalem is going to be desecrated by the nations, and it will be trodden down, but it will not be destroyed. How do we know that? Well, look at Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. We note here what the Apostle John was inspired to write. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, the ethnos, the nations, and the holy city shall they tread down for 42 months, 3.5 years. So, this beast power, false prophet, inspired by Satan the devil, will eventually make their headquarters in Jerusalem, and the nations are going to trot it down for 3.5 years. And now let's return back to the book of Zechariah, where he shows God's intervention in the nick of time to save Jerusalem and Judah. Zechariah 12 and verse 4, In that day, says the Eternal, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even Jerusalem. The prophet Zechariah goes on to write more about this event when the nations, the armies, surround Jerusalem, and God is going to supernaturally intervene, and he is going to save them, and he's going to also save the faithful ones who have turned to him, who have repented, exercised faith in the Jesus Christ, and have been baptized and received the laying on of hands and have entered into the covenant of sacrifice with God in Christ at this time. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is Zechariah 12:8. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David in the house of David, that is very bold and courageous. And they shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And that is the key. They are going to look upon him whom they have pierced. The Jews as a nation did not accept Jesus Christ when he came to this earth as the humble suffering servant to pay for the sins of the world, the very Son of God. They were looking for a great political, military leader who would restore the kingdom to them as in the days of David and Solomon. But God sent Jesus Christ, the suffering Messiah, to pay for the sins of the world. And the only way that the nations are going to be truly restored and enter into an age of peace and prosperity is when they look upon him whom they have pierced, and they exercise faith in him, and they accept him as their Savior. They repent of their sins and turn to him. He goes on to say, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So they're going to come to see that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. These are the very words of God. If you believe the Bible, then this is what is going to happen. The kings of the earth, coupled with a great religious power, will eventually try to control Jerusalem, and they will be permitted to do so for a short period of time. The pseudo-Messiah will proclaim himself to be God. And the scriptures reveal to us that the beast power will eventually plant his headquarters in Jerusalem. How do we know this? We know it from Daniel 11, verses 44 and 45. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, that is, this willful king, this beast power. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palaces between the seas and the glorious holy mountain that is in Jerusalem, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. The Apostle Paul describes his pseudo-Messiah in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, who says that this one sits in the temple of God, saying that he is God, and that he demands worship. And everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to worship this pseudo-Messiah and believe the lie that Christ has come in the form of this pseudo-Messiah. Are you going to be deceived, or is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And at the same time that this pseudo-Messiah is proclaiming that he is God, the two witnesses of God will be on the scene in Jerusalem as described in Revelation 11. The two witnesses will be there declaring who the true God is and encouraging people to worship the true God and keep his commandments. Revelation 11:3, I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy for 1260 days. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. This is a reference to the vision that Zechariah saw in Zechariah chapter 4. These two olive trees and these two candlesticks are the two witnesses. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them, and kill them. So God allows the two witnesses to be killed, and upon the news that the two witnesses have been killed, the peoples of the earth rejoice over that, and they send gifts to each other, because they say these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. In other words, the things that have been happening will be blamed on the two witnesses instead of the pseudo-Messiah, the false prophet, and the beast. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life from God, entered into them, that is, the two witnesses, They stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Doubtlessly, the international news networks will be there covering this event. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So we see here that this great event that is going to take place during the time of the great tribulation, in which the beast, the false prophet, the pseudo-messiah, sits in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God, and the peoples of the world will be worshiping him, everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are going to have this witness, this testimony from God's two witnesses, showing who you should really worship. The psalmist in Psalm 2 describes the current state of the world. Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the eternal and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. The reason why the nations do what they do under the inspiration of Satan the devil is because they don't want God to rule over them. And the great question of the ages is, who will you choose to be your king? Will you choose for man and Satan to rule over you, or will you choose the true God? Jerusalem will eventually become the seat of God's government over the whole earth. Note the words of the prophet Isaiah. Keep in mind, as we've seen from the scriptures in this program, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the nations, but it will not be destroyed. Here's what Isaiah writes. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days, that is the time that this present evil age ends and we merge into the age of the millennium. In the last days, the mountain, the government of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go up and say, come, you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law. Know the immutable spiritual law of God has not been done away with. It will form the backbone of the Constitution for the government in the wonderful world tomorrow. They'll say, let us go up to Jerusalem, and out of Jerusalem and from Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. May God hasten that day as we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You've been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. We're offering a subscription to the Good News Magazine, of course, and Are We Living in the Last Days? All you have to do to receive free literature is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Be sure to be tuned to this station next week for World News.